Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Why do so many people in the world of Christendom call the law of God a form of bondage? Could the very Word of God that defines His immutable spiritual law be considered bondage in any form, shape, or fashion? Some people talk about the love of God and imply that the love of God is in opposition to the law of God. Christ states, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." But what is love? Is love just an emotion that is defined solely by one's feelings for another person? We may feel sorry for a person who has just lost his home in a fire or a tornado or a hurricane. Or we may feel sorry for the homeless, those who are going hungry around the world. But are these feelings the same as love? If someone asks you to give the Bible definition of love, what would you say? The Apostle John is called the Apostle of Love. So let's see how the Apostle John defines love. Here's what he says, "For this is the love of God, that we should keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." That's 1 John 5:3. The Apostle of Love, the Apostle John says, "For this is the love of God, that we should keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." So according to the inspired Word of God, love is shown to another person by keeping God's commandments. When you don't steal, when you don't commit adultery, when you don't bear false witness, when you don't covet, when you don't have any other gods before you, when you don't take the name of the Lord in vain, when you don't make any graven image unto God and claim that that is God, when you keep God's holy Sabbath, these things are loving God and also loving your neighbor. Remember what Jesus said when He was asked, what are the greatest commandment? Christ said, these are the greatest commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then went on to say that on these two hang all the law and the prophets. John's definition of love should not surprise us if we have read the Gospels, because Jesus states in John 15:7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Can you bear fruit and not obey God? And how do you know what to obey? Well, you know what to obey because the Bible instructs you on what to obey. Jesus Christ continues in John 15:9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, some people get the idea that the commandments of the Father are different from the commandments of Jesus Christ. But nothing could be farther from the truth. The Word of God and the words of Jesus Christ are one and the same. Jesus Christ said that He came to reveal the Father. Jesus Christ said, "I can do nothing of myself." Jesus Christ said, "The words I speak, I got from the Father." So they're not two different sets of laws. The law of God, the one who gave the law in the Old Testament, really is the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And Jesus Christ says that no man has seen the Father or heard His voice at any time, and He came to reveal the Father. Christ continues in John 15:11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And so the Ten Commandments of God tell us how to love God and how to love our neighbor. And on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. When people try to tell you that the immutable spiritual law of God is done away with, they are denying the very words of God in Jesus Christ. One of the ways to distinguish between those who are preaching the truth and those who aren't is found in Isaiah 8:20. Give them the test of the prophet Isaiah is found in Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Mosaic Law was considered a form of bondage from the standpoint that it imposed certain rituals on ancient Israel that could never make them righteous because it could not purge the conscience of sin. In other words, you had to have a new mind, and that new mind comes from the Spirit of God, being a partaker of His divine essence. But there are conditions for receiving that divine essence, the Holy Spirit. These ritualistic laws were given to bring Israel and the whole world to Christ. Christ didn't die just for the sins of Israel or for any other ethnic or national group. He died for the sins of the whole world, and Christ is not a respecter of persons. Note what Paul writes in Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serves the law? It was added because of transgressions. Now, what law was added because of transgressions? Was it the immutable spiritual law of God that defines the very character of God? Or was it the ritualistic law, the Mosaic law, that had to do with washings and oblations and certain rituals that they participated in and for that time then? Let's see. He goes on to say, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And the mediator of the old covenant was that man Moses. In this verse, Paul makes a sharp distinction between the law that was added, the Mosaic law, and, on the other hand, the Ten Commandments. He explains that the Mosaic law, which was added because of Israel's transgressions, did not make the promises of non-effect. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, the Greek word prostithemi, which is translated added here in Galatians 3:19, means to put to. Pros means to, and tithemi means to put. To add or to place beside, to put beside something else. Thus, the word can mean to add to that which is present or to place beside. What law came in beside? Was it the spiritual law or was it the ceremonial law of Moses? The law that came in beside was placed alongside because of transgressions. Such a law could not have been the spiritual law, since where no law is, there is no transgression. Romans 4, verse 15. Furthermore, if Paul were referring to the spiritual law, the structure of the sentence would be nonsensical, since he would be stating that because of transgression, sin, the spiritual law came in beside or was added. And as we've already noted, if the spiritual law were not in effect, there would be no transgression to begin with. But Paul could say in confidence that the ceremonial law came in beside, it was added, as a means for maintaining the Israelites' relationship with God until the seed should come, the seed of that promise made to Abraham, and that seed is Christ. Paul makes this clear in the succeeding verses. In Galatians 3 and verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Even the Ten Commandments cannot give law. No law gives life. The Ten Commandments could not give life. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. And so sin, the Bible definition of sin, is sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. So we see that Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So you can look at this in a dual sense. Understanding the spiritual law of God, if you break it, then you become a servant, a slave to sin and death, and the death penalty is on your head, and you are in bondage, and the only way that you can have that death penalty removed is through the sacrifice of Christ. Then, the ritualistic law, the law that's contained in sacrifices, laws and ordinances that had to do with the sacrificing of various animals, also pointed toward the time in which Jesus Christ would come and pay for the sins of the world. Those sacrifices could never purge the conscience of sin. Those sacrifices could never truly forgive sin in the ultimate sense. Those sacrifices kept the nation of Israel in a relationship with God under the terms of that covenant, that is, the old covenant. Paul goes on to say, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Does that mean then, if we're no longer under a schoolmaster, that we're no longer under God's immutable spiritual law, that we no longer have to obey God's immutable spiritual law because Christ came and paid for the sins of the world? Well, we're going to see in this program that that is not the case at all. Paul goes on to say, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, under the terms of the old covenant, females could not be circumcised as males were, and really to be counted officially as a part of the congregation under the old covenant, you had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses, thus leaving females out in that sense. Even today, if you go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and I have been there, there's a rope dividing the men from the women, and the men are closer to the tunnel that goes under the Temple Mount than the women are. But in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female, there's neither bond nor free in the geopolitical sense, or the socio-political sense. He goes on to say, and if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the question, the Ten Commandments, bondage or freedom? So many people are deceived today, thinking that the law of God is done away with, that all you have to do is to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and believe that he kept the law perfectly, and then that, quote, is imputed to you, and you don't have to obey God's immutable spiritual law. You can make any day the Sabbath, according to what so many teach, but is that really the case? If that is the case, and that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law in the sense that some people try to say that he is, why did Jesus Christ himself keep the Sabbath? And why did the Apostle Paul keep the Sabbath? You can look up the word Sabbath in the New Testament, and you can see clearly that Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul kept the Sabbath. You can also see that those who really believe and trust God are those who obey the commandments of God. For example, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 19, for circumcision is nothing, neither is uncircumcision, but keeping of the commandments of God. You really need to understand about the Ten Commandments. We have a wonderful booklet that we will send you free of charge titled, The Ten Commandments. And at the same time, we will send you a free Bible study course that will take you through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation so you can really come to understand the plan and purpose of God. And we'll also send you a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that will keep you abreast of world affairs and what's going on in the world today and how you can deal with the various pressures that are upon us in today's world. So to receive the free literature, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, to receive the Ten Commandments booklet, also the Bible study course, and the Good News Magazine, is to call our toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. The first segment of our program, we have seen that the definition of love is given by the Apostle of Love in 1 John 5 and verse 3, where John writes, "For this is the love of God, that we should keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." We've seen from John 15 that Christ Himself said, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments, just as I have kept My Father's commandments." We have also noted there is no difference between the Father's commandments and Jesus' commandments. We've also seen that because of Israel's transgressions, God gave them, that is Israel, a temporary covenant, the old covenant, a covenant that would bring them to Christ, a covenant that consisted of various ordinances and rituals, washings and oblations, that symbolized the great sacrifice that was to come in Jesus Christ, the time in which they could have their sins totally remitted and they could enter into the holiest of all. Paul makes it very clear in the book of Hebrews which laws were added and which laws were taken away. The things which stood only in meats and drinks and different washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. That's how long that lasted. Paul continues. This is Hebrews chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. "But Christ, being an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered into once the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." What ended was the religious system of justification through the law of sacrifices. This included everything connected with temple worship through the Levitical priesthood. Moreover, Paul assures the Hebrews that Christ has obtained a more excellent ministry and has become the mediator of a new covenant that is established upon better promises. Hebrews 8:6. We should note carefully this word establish. The Greek word for established is nomotheteo. N-O-M-O-T-H-E-T-E-O. Nomotheteo. It means to furnish with law. Yes, the new covenant is furnish with law. Read it carefully for yourself. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. Look up the word established. You will see that it is nomotheteo. Nomotheteo means furnish with law. The new covenant was furnished with law based on better promises, with a Son of God, as Paul writes here, with Jesus Christ as the mediator. To argue that the spiritual law came in beside or was added forces one to come to the false conclusion of that so many do, that is, the spiritual law ended when Christ died for the sins of the world. And as we have seen here, the new covenant is furnished with law. Hebrews 8:6. Once again, look up the word established in Hebrews 8:6 and see that it is nomotheteo. Nomos is the Greek word for law. Theteo has to do with furnishing. The new covenant is furnished with law. The law is holy. Holy things have God's active presence within them. Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, verses 12 and 14, the last part, "The commandment is holy and just and good. The law is spiritual." Furthermore, to argue that the spiritual law has ended is to, in effect, deny Christ Himself. For Christ boldly proclaims in John 6:63, "The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life." When Christ proclaims that man shall live from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, He is quoting Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. But we should readily note that there is definitely a bondage aspect, as we have already pointed out, even to the spiritual law. This leads us to the Bible definition of sin once more. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 4 and verse 3. I'm sorry, it's 1 John 3 and verse 4. And the bondage of sin is the greatest bondage of any bondage, since, as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Breaking God's immutable spiritual law brings on you the death penalty. The wages of sin is death. It's not burning forever in eternal hell. Yes, there is eternal punishment. You will be burned up in Gehenna fire, in hell fire, but once all of the combustible material that is you is burned, that's it, and you experience the second death, as it says in Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15, where death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death from which there is no resurrection. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. The good news, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that bondage that is on your head from breaking God's immutable spiritual law can be taken away through faith in the sacrifice of Christ and repentance from your sins. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 7:10, "And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." The commandment was ordained to life, to help sustain life. It doesn't give life. He goes on to write, Romans 7:11, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is made death, that which is good, made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, what became death unto him? It was sin. It was breaking that immutable spiritual law, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good." What is good? The law of God. "That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful." Yes, commandment also defines sin, and at the same time, keeping the law of God is what love really is, true love. He goes on to say, Romans 6:14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." This leads us to what the gospel is all about and what and why Christ came to this earth. Christ came to free us from the penalty of sin. Through faith in the sacrifice of Christ, you can be set free from the penalty of sin, from the bondage of sin and death. However, Christ did not die for your sins so you could remain in your sins. Some ministers like to quote Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." And that's the spiritual law or the Mosaic law. You could begin perfectly keeping the spiritual law of God today, but that would not justify you from sins that are past. You must exercise faith in Jesus Christ for the remission of sins in order to be justified, because the wages of sin is death, and the only way the death penalty can be removed is it requires the death of someone. So Jesus Christ came and died in your stead. And there's no amount of offering of animal sacrifices or being circumcised or anything else that's going to justify you. But on the other hand, because you exercise faith in Jesus Christ for remission of sins does not mean that you can continue in your sins. Because Paul goes on to quote in the next several verses the fact that you must obey. So some people like to quote Galatians 2:16 and just leave it there. But note what Paul writes in the succeeding verses, Galatians 2:17, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Yes, you destroy the old man symbolically when you are baptized, you go under the watery grave, and in essence you're saying that you are going to crucify the old person and you're going to surrender, submit to God, and live unto God. So we need to understand that repentance is a necessary step for having our sins forgiven. And we must come to realize and understand who man is, what man is, and what is his purpose for being here on earth in the first place, for having life. Who is man? Man is made in the image of God, but not of the same essence as God. God is spirit. What is man? Man was made from the dust of the ground. He is physical, mortal, subject to sin and death. What is man's purpose? Humans were created to become sons and daughters of God and his family and in his kingdom. In order to bridge the great gulf between mortality and immortality, we must be given the gift of the Holy Spirit and become partakers of God's divine nature. Note how the Apostle Peter concludes his sermon on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was sent to the New Covenant Church. Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2:38. So we can clearly see that the conditions for receiving the Holy Spirit, the divine essence of God, is to repent, exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ for the remission of sins, and be baptized. Why is it that people want to pervert the true gospel into some form of cheap grace or into some kind of prosperity gospel, as in the name it and claim it heresy? In Paul's epistles to the Galatians, there are some difficult passages. If one is not careful, he can be led down a path that is similar to what the Apostle Peter describes in 2 Peter 2 in verse 17. "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever," speaking of Satan and the demons. "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that are clean escape from them that live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. And there is no way that keeping God's immutable spiritual law can ever be said to be any form of bondage." So we again ask the question, do the Ten Commandments represent bondage or freedom? As we have seen in the program today, the law of God defines both ends of the spectrum when it comes to spiritual matters. The law of God defines what sin is. Keeping the law of God, on the other hand, is what love is. The nations wage war in the name of freedom, but true freedom and true liberation from sin and death can only come through recognizing that you have broken God's immutable spiritual law, and that has brought you into the bondage of sin and death. But on the other hand, you can be set free from sin and death through faith in the sacrifice of Christ, repenting of your sins, and yielding yourselves to the righteousness of God. So, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose freedom or bondage? You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, the Ten Commandments booklet, the free Bible study course, and the Good News magazine, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614, 1-888-886-5614, and be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy.